I want to invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. And this morning, we will be bringing to a close the series which we have been preaching on through the book of Joshua with one final message here in Joshua, chapter 24. Our text this morning will be verse 29 through 31. One of the unique responsibilities of being a pastor is that on some occasions I am asked to preach a funeral. And oftentimes at those funerals, a memorial service, it will be my job not only to preach the gospel and to comfort the family, but also to create a memory of the person who is in the casket who has departed from us. And oftentimes that may be more challenging than other times for me, depending on whether I know that individual or have known that individual well in the past. But oftentimes what I will do is I will sit with the family and I'll try to ask them some questions about their departed loved one and about some special memories that they have. And we try to, when we speak about the obituary, you know, which is the data about when they were born and died and those kind of things, we try to weave in some facts about who that person was. Those services can be very special as folks remember their departed loved one, especially if that person has lived a life of distinction for the glory of God. And if at that service it is a time of remembering that person having finished strong for the Lord. We see this exact scene played out in front of us in Joshua chapter 24 in the verses which we've taken for our text this morning. Joshua has really lived his life for God. From the time that he was a young man as the servant of Moses, the minister of Moses, and all the way through the conquering of the land and the dividing of the land and the final charge to the people in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua has lived a life with distinction of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say in the scriptures that Joshua has finished strong. I don't know about you, but when I finish my earthly race, whenever that time is, I want it to be said of me that I have finished strong, if you will, that I died with my boots on. And we'll see how that goes. But I want to finish strong for the Lord. Now, if I live a normal life, that's many years between now and when I go to be with the Lord. Of course, we understand that that could be tomorrow just as well as it could be 35 or 40 years from now. But the goal is, as God's people, we want to finish strong in this thing of the Christian life and being an overcomer. We want it to be said of us that we have done all that God asked us to do, that we have fulfilled His will, and that we have finished our course. We see Joshua in exactly this state. In verse number 29, Joshua chapter 24, the Bible says there, "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." Father, would you meet with us this morning? Would you encourage us from your word? I pray that you'd help me. Give me the strength that I need to be able to finish this message this morning. You know that my voice is weak this morning, but I pray that you'd help me to be able to finish this message, to be able to preach it with the power and conviction with which you've laid it upon my heart. I pray, Father, for those who are in the audience this morning, that you would help them to be spirit-filled listeners. I pray that if there are some here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come under the powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit would reprove them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment this morning. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to bring glory to Jesus Christ. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you think about finishing your course with honor, finishing the race strong. You know, I sometimes think about a marathon, and I sometimes tell people, you know, I'd like to train for a marathon. You know how different that is from actually training for a marathon, right? That's a big difference between the two. I know some people who actually run quite a bit. Brother Shorter, who will be with us tonight, has been running a lot of 5K races, and now I understand in just a couple weeks is going to be running his first 10K race, and has the goal, ultimately, I believe, of running in a marathon. But I think if I ever did run a marathon, I would suspect that if I finished the race in the condition I am right now, if I did finish the race, it would not be strong, but it would probably be just crawling across the tape, just barely making it. But no, I want to be kind of like those fellows that train and really pour their heart into it, and they finish the race strong, if you will, even stronger than they began the race, with more speed and more strength and more courage. And that's how our Christian life ought to be for us when we think about how we want to live for the Lord. We want to finish this race strong. You see, the truth of the matter is, there are many people who have started out for God. There are many people who have gone out of the blocks, and you thought, boy, they're really going to run a race for God. They're really going to do something for the Lord, and they've gone by the wayside. There are very few that you can look even in the scriptures and say that individual finish the course with distinction and honor. Think about in the Bible how many people started out well and fell to the wayside. I think of Solomon and what a start he was given, what a privilege, the wisdom of God and the blessing of God and a very godly father, King David, and he had so much to his credit, and yet by the time he finished his earthly course, he had done great discredit to the things of the Lord and to the kingdom that he possessed. And we could just go on and on with others who did not finish their course with distinction. It is not my desire as a preacher, it is not my desire as a Christian, as a child of God, for it to be said of me, well, he did well in the beginning, but he went by the wayside a little later in his life. Rather, it is my desire to finish this race strong whenever that finish line comes. I believe there's three things that are indicated in the text here this morning about how you can finish the race strong. There's some guiding principles which I believe were present in Joshua's life. Certainly, this is not a comprehensive list, but I think these are some key things which God lets us in on right here in this text. Three thoughts I want to share with you this morning that I think will make a difference in you finishing the race strong. First of all, I say to you this morning, you need to, if you're going to finish the race strong, you're going to need to know your identity. Know your identity. Do you see there in verse 29 what it says about Joshua on the day of his death? It says, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Now, I like that because there's a lot of things we could have said about Joshua. There's a lot of things which could have been given to his credit. You could have said about Joshua that he was a valiant captain of the host. You could have said that he was a wise administrator. You could have said that he was a courageous conqueror. You could have said many, many things about Joshua. He had served with distinction in many areas of his life, but what it was summed up as at the end of his life was Joshua was the servant of the Lord. Let it be said of us this morning only, and if nothing else could be said of us, let it be said that we are the servant of the Lord. I believe that here God chose these words very carefully, as I believe he chooses carefully every word of Scripture when he said that Joshua was the servant of the Lord. I'm telling you this morning that if you're going to finish this race with distinction and with honor, if you're going to fulfill the will of God for your life, then you are going to have to determine this morning to be the servant of the Lord. Now, do you see there in the passage that it says something about his physical lineage? It says that he was the son of Nun. And all of us who are here this morning could say that we are the son of someone. I am the son of Doug and Beverly, but I have another father. I have a physical father, Doug Hammett. Most of you know him, but I also have a spiritual heavenly father. And praise the Lord, by the right of the second birth this morning, I can stand here having been adopted into the family of God. If you can this morning say with sincerity, I have been adopted into the family of God, not because of my works or because of my religion or because of my background, but because of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed in my place, because I've repented of my sin and put my faith in his sacrifice. This morning, I can say that I'm the son of God. I am a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can say this morning, you have an identity that is worth hanging on to. Sometimes when I'm traveling, I'll introduce myself and I'll go around, shake hands, and I'll tell people, I'll say, my name's Roland Hammett. And they'll say, is that any relation to Doug Hammett? And I'll say, well, why are you asking? Or why do you want to know? That's usually a good question to ask. And I tease them that way. But of course, he's my father. And see, I'm associated with him. And people know my dad. And therefore, they link me with him. And they say, oh, you're his son. And sometimes they'll say things like, well, you sound like your dad. Or you have the mannerisms of your dad. Or you look like your dad. I hope not. Boy, help me. That's why I grew this beard, so I could be in disguise. I hope with all my heart that he is watching on the internet this morning. I really do. But Joshua was the servant of the Lord. He was the son of Nun. Yes, he could not deny his physical lineage. And certainly, I believe that his father must have been a godly man, a man who was influential in his life to see the development of Joshua along the way. But there was something more important than that, and that is that Joshua served the Lord. I believe there's many people today, even Christians, who are trying to live their life to prove something to the world about who they are. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're trying to get a different career. Maybe you're trying to get some kind of a degree. Maybe you're trying to get some accomplishments behind your name so that you can say to the world, this is who I am. If you are a son of God, if you are the servant of the Lord, then it ought to be sufficient for you to say, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm just doing what God has asked me to do. The word servant means one who is under an obligation to render services to and obey the orders of another person. And it makes all the difference in the world whose servant you are this morning. By the way, you are serving someone. You are either serving your own flesh, your selfish desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, or you are serving the Lord. You have to choose between the two. We preached about that last week. There is no middle ground in this thing. You are either serving the Lord or you are serving this world. Joshua, it is said of him that he was the servant of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Hold your place here in Joshua 24 and turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Now, I'm getting warmed up. My voice is not. Luke chapter 6. So we'll see how we do here. But the Lord Jesus Christ was talking here, preaching a message. And he says this in verse number 46. Sobering words. Luke chapter 6, verse number 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, let me just pause there and say that we have a big problem in our world today. And that is, and probably right here in this auditorium, there are many people who will call Jesus Christ Lord. But when it comes down to how they live their life, how they execute the decisions of their life, the reality is that they do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own desires. Jesus went on to say this in verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me, now notice this, and heareth my sayings. Where do we find the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Right here. You've got to hear, first of all, you've got to hear what God says. And then he says, and doeth them. In other words, it's not enough just to hear the word of God, just to hear what the Bible says, just to be a Bible scholar or student, to be able to say, well, I could say all the books of the Bible in order, and I know a few of the facts of the scripture. That's not enough. But rather, according to the book of James, we ought to be careful not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. And Jesus says, you need to hear what he has to say and do them. I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, there's many things we could say about this passage of Scripture, but let's suffice it to say this. Many people in our world today, and I guarantee there's people in this auditorium this morning who struggle with this very thing, many people in our world today are struggling with insecurity. That is, they're constantly constantly in fear of what everybody thinks about them and whether people approve of what they're doing or what they're not doing or how they're dressed or how they look and all these types of things. And they go through their life trying to please everyone around them. Now, what is it like to live a life when you're constantly worried about what everybody thinks about you? It's absolutely crippling. It's absolutely a horrible existence because you bounce around like a ping pong ball trying to figure out how I can please this person and how I can please that. Have you figured out that people have different preferences? That in order to make one person happy, you're going to make somebody else unhappy. And then you're going to try to make that person happy. And then you're going to make the other person unhappy. And you could spend your whole life, literally, and people do, spend their whole life trying to please the world around them. It's the fear of man which bringeth a snare. That's exactly what Jesus is describing here when he says that you're like a man that builds your house on the sand. It's a very unstable foundation. You say, well, I'm trying to do what everybody says is right, and I'm trying to do the best thing because I want to know what other people think. And I'm not saying that you don't seek counsel, but listen to me. Some people, they're trying so hard, and don't say just some people. This is common to man. Right. This is something that every one of us struggles with, and we've got to find out, are my priorities based upon what God says, and am I doing what God says, or am I worried about pleasing somebody else? Because if you're pleasing someone else, it's a foundation of sand. It's a very shaky place. Now, Jesus said, if you'll just be concerned, instead of just calling me Lord, Lord, instead of that, instead, if you'll just hear what I say and do what I say and call me Lord and serve me as Lord. In other words, what Joshua did, if you'll just be the servant of the Lord, then your house will be built on a rock. There'll be some storms that'll come. There'll be some troubles. There'll be some difficulties in your life, but it's not going to wash away your foundation because your life is founded upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me apply this for a moment in the area of salvation. There's many people who are trying to please God, trying to get to heaven, trying to have the assurance of their salvation based upon their good works or their religion. You know, the problem with that is that you can't be good. And you're very much aware of that. And that's why you're constantly trying to make up to God and trying to do things to make him appeased, because you know that you can't live good enough to please God. In fact, if you really thought about it, the Bible says you've got to be 100% good. You've got to be a perfect individual, having never broken God's law, having never transgressed against his commandments in order to make it to heaven. By the way, newsflash, there's nobody like that in the room this morning. All of us are sinners. All of us have broken God's law. All of us have transgressed his commandment. You say, well, where can I find stability then? Where can I find security? How can I have the hope of heaven? Well, you put your foundation on this book, on what God has said, on the provision, the sacrificial provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death in your place. And you can be sure of this morning, that your place in heaven is secure. But more than that, if you'll fashion your life, and you might be here this morning, say, well, I know that I've been saved. I know I'm a child of God. But can I ask you this question this morning? Are you the servant of the Lord? Could it be said of you, as an overwhelming analysis of your life, looking over all the things that you've done, all the things that you've pursued in your life, could it be said overwhelmingly of you as an individual, all the things that person did, they serve the Lord. They love the Lord. When we stand at your casket, and maybe it'll be right here in this auditorium, and the lid will be open, and your body will be laying in there. That's a morbid thought, isn't it? Guess what? It's coming. Will it be said of you that you're the servant of the Lord? I say to you that Joshua had great success. He finished his race strong because he knew where his allegiance was. He knew who was his master. There were many competing opinions. There were many individuals who would have liked to tell him what to do, but Joshua was serving the Lord. He was going to do what God had told him to do. He was the servant of the Lord. He knew his identity. Go back to our text in Joshua 24. Joshua 24, if you're going to finish this race strong, not only do you need to know your identity, but second of all, I say to you that you need to focus on your influence. Focus on your influence. Now notice this, in verse number 31, it says something very interesting about Joshua. It seems not to fit, actually, because this section is about Joshua's death, but verse 31 is about the nation of Israel. It says this, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. You know what that tells me about Joshua? it tells me that this man, who was a servant of God, exerted incredible influence in the nation which he led. This was a man who was a godly example as the servant of the Lord. In fact, it tells us there in verse 31, in so many words, that the reason that Israel served God during the days of Joshua was because of Joshua's example. Yea, the generation that followed, those who knew Joshua, were influenced by his example, by his life, by his distinction in serving the Lord, and his influence spoke for generations afterwards. In fact, aren't we talking about Joshua today and being influenced by his life because of what God has told us about him in the Word of God? I say to you this morning, and if you haven't figured it out yet, your influence can last a long time. Your life is very temporary. I think many people are, now understand what I'm saying. There is nothing wrong with preparing for the future, with taking care of your family. I believe those are biblical, godly principles. But there are many people who are pouring their life into leaving a financial legacy. And what is the good of that? I mean, what is the purpose of that? What, they are neglecting their family so that they can have the goods of this world. So that one day, I guess in their mind, they're going to really enjoy that wealth. But you know what happens? You work right up till the end, and then you die, and you leave it for people who are going to fight over it, and the government's going to take half of it anyway. So what's the point? There's something that's more powerful than that, and that is your influence. Your influence. Now, it can be seen in some various places. How about your children? Are your children impacted by your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do your children know that you are an out-and-out servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, or do they call you a hypocrite? You better focus on your influence. If you're going to finish this race with distinction and with honor, if you're going to finish strong the race that God has given to you to run, then you better focus on those who you are influencing. By the way, you are influencing others in one way or the other. You are either influencing them to serve the Lord and to put the Lord first, or you are influencing them to walk away from the things of the Lord and to have nothing to do with the things of the Lord. And what a tragedy it would be if that was the legacy which you left behind as a child of God. Measure your influence. I say to you, our life is very short. Honestly, there's very little that we can do with this life. In the scheme of eternity and in the scope of the population of the world, what does one person matter? But now put it in the area of influence, and one person's influence can have a tremendously far-reaching effect upon generations to come, upon people all around the world. And so this morning, if you are going to finish this race strong, you're going to have to do what Timothy was told by Paul that he needed to focus on. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. I ask you this question this morning. What was the power of the Apostle Paul's ministry? Was it his oratorical skills? I say not. Was it then that the Apostle Paul was such a brilliant genius? Well, he was very intelligent. You can tell that from reading his letters, but I don't believe that was his greatest contribution. I'm going to tell you this morning that the greatest contribution of the Apostle Paul, and by the way, the Apostle Paul shaped the world as we know it today through his influence, but the greatest contribution of the Apostle Paul was in the men that he trained and left behind, who influenced future generations, who influenced future generations, and here we sit today because of that. Now, you think about the power of influence. Your example speaks volumes. Your words say almost nothing. Joshua, through his influence, had a great impact on the nation of Israel. Now, listen to me, they had to make their own decisions. They had to choose whether they were going to serve the Lord. We established that last week. But Joshua gave them an example that they could follow of someone who genuinely served the Lord, and his influence was far-reaching. I'm going to tell you this morning that the greatest value of your earthly life will not be in your IRA. It will not be in your 401k. It will not be in the properties that you leave behind as part of your estate. It is not in some area of scientific contribution, but rather your greatest contribution in this life will be your influence on the lives of those who are around you. Can I just get you to stop and think about that statement for a minute, dads? Dads, your children need a father who is an example of godly character and integrity, and they need you in their lives. And we've got dads today that are too busy at the job, too busy at work. And listen, you got to work, you got to feed your family, too busy doing all these other things to be an influence on their children. What a tragedy. Right in your hands, you have the greatest power to change this world, right in the four walls of your own home. Listen, we need to take this thing seriously. Joshua was a man who understood his influence. He poured his life into others, into those elders that came after him. And what a difference it made in the nation. And so I say to you this morning that if you're going to finish strong, you need to know your identity. You need to focus on your influence. But here, last of all, but certainly not least, I want to tell you this morning that if you are going to finish this race, if you are going to do God's will for your life, then you need to live with intensity. Live with intensity. Now, there's nothing that bothers me more. Well, maybe there is. There's not many things that bother me more than people that don't have any purpose. And I don't mean that they don't have any purpose from God. I mean they don't have any purpose for themselves. They just kind of bebop around. And 20 years passes by and you say, well, what did you accomplish with your life? Well, I bebopped around. I mean, man, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. God has put you here for a reason. God has put you here to fulfill a purpose with your life. And Joshua understood that. He was a man who lived with great intensity. Understand what the scripture says in verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, what's the next word? Died. Died. Can I leave you with one thought this morning? There is a finish line. There is an ending point. This thing that we call life is not perpetual in the sense that we on this side of eternity get to live forever. Now, there is a living forever in heaven or in hell, one of the two. There's either living forever or dying forever. You get to choose that in this life. But I'm talking about the life that God gives to you as a gift right now, as a stewardship, and it might be short and it might be long. Joshua lived 110 years. I doubt if most of us will live that long. But Joshua, as long as he lived and as much as he had seen, there came a point where there was a stopping line. He died. He's gone. He's not here anymore. Joshua died. Having in your mind the understanding that there is a termination point to this life will help you to live with intensity. I mean, be honest with yourself and with me this morning. How much longer do you really have to make a difference in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. I'm going to be 35 this year, and that's pretty young, all right? I'm enjoying that. But, you know, 35 is halfway to 70, and 70 is what God says is a normal life. That means that I've used up nearly half of my life if I live to the 70 years that God has told me I would live. You say, well, science is telling us you'll live longer. Well, I doubt it's going to be much longer. No matter what science tells us, I believe what God says. And so I don't think we're going to find the fountain of youth. And I see things once in a while, you know, they're going to figure this thing out. We're going to be able to live forever. That's a bunch of hogwash, all right? There's no way. We've got the curse of sin written right into the code of our DNA. Didn't we learn that in Sunday school? Here we're going to die. We're going to stand before God. There is a termination point coming. We've got to determine, am I going to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Brother Barry, I didn't mean to put any pressure on you there. 70 on Tuesday, all right? But hey, amen. I knew he could handle it, right? But you know what? That's the reality for all of us, that our lives, you know, I found something the other day. I like to read about productivity and getting things done and being productive with my time because I try to value my time. One of the things I ran across here recently was this little tip. Maybe this will help you, all right? But productivity experts tell you that if you will take one task, a single task, and you will set a timer, an egg timer, one of those ones that goes click, 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 and you will set that timer for 25 minutes and put it on your desk and just zone in on that one thing that you're going to get done, you can be incredibly productive in the course of just 25 minutes if you don't allow any distractions, anything else to keep you from what you're doing, if you just focus on that one thing. And you know, I found it to be very true. What if we lived our life with that sense that there's an egg timer ticking in the background, ticking off the time that God has given to us, and every second that you choose to do something is a second that you are choosing either to promote the things of God and to follow His will, or to follow after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is that a convicting thought? It convicts me. I tell you what, we need to live with intensity. This life that God has given us is not very long. I find that many people are living without a goal. They have no preparation for the finish line. Not only non-Christians, by the way. In fact, I'll say this to you, many non-Christians are much more productive with their lives. Because they say, this is the only life I get. I'm going to really pour my life. I'm really going to do something with my... Now, their productivity may not be something that we enjoy or that we think is valuable, but many Christians are just kind of, oh, well, you know, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Going to be with the Lord. But God has put you here for a purpose. He wants you to accomplish something with your life. He's got a goal and a plan and a purpose. He's got people that need to be influenced by your life. And if we're just wasting our life, if we're just trying to get by and trying to, oh, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Well, wonderful to be in heaven, but why don't you use your life now for what God has called you to do? I'll tell you that insecurity will keep you from doing that, by the way. All the way back to our original point there. Many people are not preparing for the finish line. They're not preparing as Christians to stand before the Lord. They're not preparing as individuals to stand before a holy God who is going to bring their works into judgment and question what they have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you prepare for the finish line this morning? Will you understand that there is a finish line? There's a time when there's going to be a call that says time out. Have you ever been at a basketball game where the timer was ticking down and some young player thought, man, it's the... And he heaved the ball up there and threw it, and maybe he even made the basket, but guess what? The timer went off. Does the basket count? Nope. Time's out. You're done. That's the end of it. Guess what? The time's coming when your shot clock is running out. And you better live with intentionality, with intensity, knowing that you are going to stand before God one day. I ran across this challenge on the internet. I've seen it many times over the last few years, and it's something that has challenged me. I want you to listen to this. It's attributed to a young African pastor who wrote this and later became a martyr for the cause of Christ. He said this, "I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, or first, or tops, or recognized, or praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear." Amen. I like that. You know what that tells me about that young man who wrote that? He had an intensity to his life. There was a purpose that he was living for. There was something that he was pursuing and going after with his life. And can I say to you this morning, if you want to be like Joshua in Joshua 24, if you want to finish the course with distinction and honor, if you want to know that your life has counted for something on this side of eternity, then my friend, you're going to have to live with some intensity. I say to you that this looks kind of like, I'm going to get practical now. This looks kind of like carrying gospel tracts in your pocket. This looks kind of like engaging people in conversations about the things of the Lord because eternity really matters. This looks kind of like spending time with your children and investing your life in them. This looks kind of like having some people that you are discipling in the things of the Lord and bringing them along to the place of maturity where you find yourself. This looks kind of like being passionate, outright, out and out, forthright disciple of Jesus Christ in every area of your life. That's what it looks like. And Joshua was a man who lived with intensity. Joshua was an individual who understood his identity. Maybe this morning you don't know who you are. And by the way, the only way you can know who you are is to know who he is and what you mean to him. Can I say something to you this morning? That without the Lord Jesus Christ, and people talk about atheism and they want to believe that there's no God. Without God, human life has no value. Human life is cheap. Human life is meaningless, but God is the one who has said that we are valuable, that we belong to him, that we are something precious in his sight. And so if you can know your value in the eyes of God, it will change the way that you live your life. If you know your identity, if you're the son of God by rights of adoption, if you can just focus a little bit on your influence and see those around you who you are influencing either for the things of God or for the things of this world. And if you will understand this morning that you need to live with some intensity. You say, I don't know all the particulars about what God wants me to do with my life. Well, that's fine. God will work all that out in your mind. You know, I found something about this in my own life, and I know I'm a young man and I've got things to learn, but I found something about God that he often just gives me one step at a time. And what he does is he says, now I want you to take this step. And I say, but Lord, after I take that step, then what am I going to do? He says, well, you just wait till you take that step. If you do that, then we'll talk about the next step. Or, okay, Lord, all right. So I take one step. You know what? When I look back, when I get over here after taking some steps and I look back, I see, wow, God was weaving that all together to bring me to this point. Isn't that amazing? What God is up to in our life is he's trying to accomplish something of eternal good for the glory of God and for the influence in this world towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I ask you this question this morning. When it comes time, like Joshua, who died, who was put to rest, his body was laid in the ground in a sepulcher, and they mourned his passing. When that time comes in your life, when we have your funeral, is it going to be able to be said of you, when you step into the presence of God, dear child of God, will you hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Or will you hear something a little more disappointing? I ask you the question this morning, will you be able to say with satisfaction and honesty at the end of your earthly race, as you are breathing your last breath, will you be able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have done what God has asked me to do, like the Apostle Paul did. Or will there be regrets? Now listen to me. You say, well, I've got some regrets about the past. Here's the thing about God. God is able to put the past in the past, deal in the present, and redeem your future. And if you've wasted some of your life and you've maybe, like the prodigal son, you've wasted your life in sinful, riotous living, and that's behind you, listen to me, God can redeem that in your life. God can give you a purpose, he can give you a plan, and he can help you to accomplish something with your life that is of eternal significance. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be a walk through the garden or anything like that. There's going to be difficulties and troubles and trials in your life. But if you live with intensity, if you understand who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you understand that you're influencing the lives of others, I say to you this morning, it's absolutely possible for you to finish this course and to finish it strong, to finish it to the honor and the glory of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The musicians are going to come and they're going to play that song, Take My Life and Let It Be. And perhaps you need to come this morning and do business with God right here at the front. If you need some help from the Bible, we'd love to have somebody sit down with you with an open Bible and answer your questions. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I want to know how I can build my house on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know how to be saved because of what Christ has done for me. We've got people who are here who'd be glad to take a Bible and show you what the Bible has to say. Listen, what we say is not important. What God says is very important, and we just want to point your attention to that. And if you need some help with that this morning, would you please come? And maybe you're here this morning, and you know that you're saved. You know that you're ready to stand before God, that you're going to go to heaven when you die. But you say, you know what? I really was challenged this morning, and I want to just check where I'm living and how I'm living, and I want to make sure that the rest of my earthly race, I'm finishing strong. I'm living for the Lord. We're going to invite you to come and talk to the Lord this morning. Father, would you have your will and your way in this invitation time now? We thank you for how you have given us examples, men like Joshua, who are great examples of the faith. And I pray that you would do your work in this invitation time now this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his will and way. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name.